One of the best things about the 21st century has been the variety of creative ways radio has evolved.
Really? That's one of the best things? It's not been the best century, then.
It's been slim. But the legacy of Marconi is in good hands with Alex Lefchik and the Midweek Drivettes. So we got that going for us.
Which is nice.
Okay, this one's for Gabby. Why, oh, why can't I?
proving that you can have an awesome ukulele and indeed open up a whole range of other bits and pieces there. One of the late great Hawaiian singers there, who is featured at the end of one of the things we're going to be looking at today, of course. That's Meech Joe Black. And in case you're actually wondering, who can this Hawaiian singer be who actually did that wonderful version of Over the Rainbow and What a Wonderful World? It was, of course, Israel Kamaka Wiwoli. And I'm not sure that I got that Kamakawa Wiwoli correct, but thank you, Israel. And although you never saw the 21st century, we salute you, sir. So slightly different because Richard is clearly in a darkened room, relaxing and unwinding after all of his busyness that he's been working through recently. But the Mini Midweek Drive Morning Edition team continues with Natasha in Australia, of course, Kathy in Lincoln, thankfully back from Ukraine. She's going back to the Ukraine. No, where she is. But anyway, that's another time and for another place. And of course, Sarah Huntley. And Sarah, it was actually thanks to your good self that we have one of the key topics for today to discuss, something which I think could almost fit into Resonance Rewind as opposed to our regular side of things there. Interested to see that it was actually nominated back in 1998 for a Stinker Bad Movie Award for Worst On-Screen Hairstyle for Brad Pitt. And I tend to agree, actually. I mean, I think, you know, Brad kind of set a pace there, which unfortunately Boris Johnson also took on board, really. It was probably one of the worst on-screen hairstyles we've actually seen. But I cannot comment on that basis. It's just the fact of the nature. So, Sarah, let's start off with your good self. What is it about this particular Anthony Hopkins, Brad Pitt, Claire Forlani number that has always appealed to you?
Well, I think it's got one of the best last couple of lines of a film. And in it, Anthony Hopkins says to Brad Pitt, "Should I be afraid?" And he says, "Not a man like you." And so to me, because we've all having a rather sad reflective time at the moment because of the Queen, and it makes you think of your own personal losses or what life's about. This film to me, it may have lots of bad haircuts and it may be a bit cheesy, but it encapsulates actually how I look at life, I hope, or hope I would. And the bravery we all have to face to take that step to go somewhere else and not think of yourself, but think of others. And that's why I think it's a really very clever plot. And I will do very bad justice to Richard, who always so succinctly explains these things. So in advance, Richard, I'm very sorry, because I won't be able to do it like Richard can. But I didn't know this film. And as I briefly said, or bored you all with one of my silly old anecdotes, the reason I found out about this film was my dad, who had locked himself out of his hotel room, having to come and stay with me because my mum wouldn't wake up in Cornwall. And he said, "Oh, let's watch a film, Jojo." And so we watched this film and he said, "This is one of my favourite films." And I went, "Oh yeah, okay." And anyway, watched it. And when you watch it, and I hope people that haven't watched it do, even if it's a bit cheesy, there's a very last scene where Anthony Hopkins walks over a bridge with Brad Pitt, who represents Death, the Grim Reaper, in a different disguise. And they're stepping off into another world unknown. And the music, there's a wonderful tune. In fact, it's called, Whisper on a Twirl. And they walk over the bridge and they venture into a new world. And my dad said to me, "Jojo, when I go, that's how I want to go, with a party in the background going on." And that. So that's why a lot of the music, not in a sad way, I had at my dad's funeral was pretty eclectic. And I do think that, I say to myself, It's a Wonderful World sort of encapsulates what I'm trying to say with Louis Armstrong singing that, the song. Do we ever really look at life? Do we ever see, when we're wrapped up living it so much, what it actually is, even in very difficult times? And the very brilliant expression that my father had, nothing to do with the film, is "smell the roses on the way," which means, in other words, however stressed, however difficult, think about the day and what it's giving you. And that's what the film is about. But the story, which I will now try and explain, and I don't know whether you three have seen it, is a wonderful story. And it's about Brad Pitt, who basically is sent from heaven, or I like to call heaven, to tell Anthony Hopkins, who's only 65, which made me think, oh, wow, blimey, I've only got a couple of years left. Because when I watched it, I was a lot younger. And actually, when my dad watched it, he was well over 65 and he had no intention of going anywhere at the time. So, you know, I'm not planning on popping my clogs at 65, I hope. But he's a successful man and says, look, come on, it's your time. And what happens, which I briefly explained, which I think is why it ties up for me for the Queen. I think the Queen had decided in her head, not necessarily that last week was going to be her time, but I think she'd given a lot of time and consideration about, I think personally, never, I've never met her, but I greatly respect her, of how she'd want it to happen and how she'd want it to be. And however sad it is at the moment, she had decided all the funeral arrangements, she decided how she wanted life left. And to me, the fact that she said to Prince Charles, who's now King Charles, I accept Camilla as the Queen, I think she'd given it a lot of thought. So Anthony Hopkins says, oh gosh, right, it's a bit of a bummer. He looks at his life and he thinks, instead of being sad about him, he looks at how his daughter is and thinks, oh. And what happens is that Brad Pitt is given this character called Joe Black, who represents death, coming to tell you it's time. And he has to come down in the guise from heaven as an angel. And he, well, I think it's an angel. And he comes in the guise of a man that Brad, that Anthony Hopkins, Bill Parrish's daughter, Susan, has had a bit of a crush on. And then she sees him. And then, of course, what happens is the parallel story actually is that death has to realise just what. So Brad Pitt is given the body of this chap that Susan has had a bit of a crush on, and she's met at a coffee store. And he comes back and she thinks, oh, he's back again. Oh, you chatted me up and didn't do anything about it. And what happens is Brad Pitt in the body of this person that she chatted up realizes how lovely Susan is and realizes what he will have to give up. And so the deal is they have to go over the bridge together. And when they go over the bridge together, death has realized just how hard it is to not have a life with Susan. And there's a wonderful end, which I'm not going to give away. So I've probably confused everybody about Meet Joe Black. But there's an awful lot of other stories. There's a difficult sister in the background to Susan who's doing the whole big party. And then I can't remember what Susan's sister is called, but Susan's the one that's having a bit of emotional time. And the most heartbreaking thing for me, which I can hardly say without crying, is that Anthony Hopkins' character gives Susan a hug and he's giving her a hug goodbye. And she's giving him a hug to say, thanks, Dad, for understanding about how cut up I am about this chap. And I think when we go up there, that we're being called up there by all the people up there. So part of us is already up there. So that's how he has the courage. But those last two lines for me, when Anthony Hopkins says, should I be afraid? And Joe Black says, not a man like you. And I hope that all of us are not afraid when we have to take our trip over the bridge, because there's so much up there. And I just think the Queen's taken her trip over the bridge. And it's a sad time getting used to it, but she's up there. She's up there. So that's why I think we should all watch Meet Joe Black.
Okay, thank you, Sarah. Well, obviously, the incarnation of Alison, the sister, Alison Parrish, she worked so hard on the cake. I mean, she tried so hard, different cakes, different, you know, party favours and so on, played by Marcia Gay Harden, her long-suffering husband, Quince, played by Jeffrey Tambor, and the somewhat nasty, as he actually manifests in his own character, original, apparently, romance for Susan Parrish, character of Drew, played by Jake Webber. Not a nice person, really, in terms of the way in which he actually applies to the whole thing. But enough of such stuff. if I was being cruel, I'd say, well, this is a wonderful episode of The Twilight Zone, but it goes on forever and ever. There were certain episodes, certainly, which created concern, because apparently when it was released for air flights, they actually chopped out about 50 minutes of the whole thing. So see the full 178 minutes, I think, the full 3 hours, really. Kathy, did you do that? Did you take that challenge? Have you seen this movie, which 25 years ago we're getting people to commentate on, Brad Pitt and Anthony Hopkins together again after Legends of the Fall?
Well, first of all, what did they take out? How could they take which part?
I think they took out all the business shenanigans, basically, that they were actually removed. So, but again, you'd have to see that. And certainly Martin Brest, who, of course, gave the world Beverly Hills Cop and a whole stack of other things. This is one of his movies that I think he was quite pleased with. But anyway, as we said, Kathy, have you seen it?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I was rewatching it and I remembered I did watch this, you know, a long time ago. It's probably been 15 years since I watched it on whatever channel it appeared on TV. And my dad actually also encouraged me to watch it because he saw it. And he also has a very similar perspective to Sarah Huntley's father about, like, he wants a party if his time ever comes. Actually, his specific description is he wants Spirit in the Sky to be playing. That needs to be happening as part of the process, but then a party. And I mean, I think Sarah explained it beautifully. So I think it is a time of a lot of reflection and what you do. And there's like a lot of cute moments when you watch this movie, you know, a lot of moments where you're like, it's very sweet, but also it makes you think a little bit further. And so, no, I think it's well worth the watch. Granted, you're in for a while. It's true. You know, it's 3 hours. you got to have some time, but if you have the time and if your heart's in the right place, I think it's a nice film to go on and watch.
Based, I think, on the novel Death Takes a Holiday. Interesting in terms of the way in which it was actually put forward that so the Jamaican lady, of course, who we actually see in place there, Lois Kelly Miller, she just passed away in 2020, age 102. So interesting to see that was also put together. I did like the touch that when we first see the unnamed Brad Pitt character, he's also obscured. We can't make him out. We kind of know that there's Erg, but he's basically behind the phone booth. We just hear his words in the same way that Susan hears his words. And then, of course, the first time that Anthony Hopkins actually encounters the manifestation of the Grim Reaper, he's also obscured behind the glass, behind the light. I think that was a nice touch on the whole system. But if we're talking about dancing cheek to cheek and all the other sort of elements that are coming through there, what says our Australian correspondent, Natasha Wanton? Natasha, I know we were umming and ahhing about this, and you said, I can't do Pinocchio. I just do not want to do Pinocchio at all. So what are your thoughts on this particular one?
Yeah, I think, first of all, heads up to any Down Under friends who are listening to this. If you want to watch it, you need a VPN because you can't actually get it on Australian Netflix. So I had to put my VPN onto British to be able to access British Netflix via that means. So that's just a heads up for anyone listening not in the British spectrum.
You see, that's the kind of technical support that Richard just fails miserably on, basically. You know, he just loses it completely. You could mention that, he wouldn't even know, he would think it was visible panty something, you know, when you talk about VPN, you know, just not there at all.
The views and opinions expressed here do not reflect those of Southside Broadcasting, Siren FM.
No, I think that both Kathy and Sarah have summed this movie up beautifully. I found it very emotional. It was very beautiful. Might partially be my own father is actually having some health issues at the minute. So it probably just, that kind of meshed into it a little bit as well and how I took the experience. I thought, as you say, yeah, there's some really cute, beautiful moments. I absolutely squealed with delight at the peanut butter scene. I think that was my favorite scene in the whole thing. It was just gorgeous with just the quality of acting that Pitt does, the way that he's able to portray these two quite different characters that he's trying to get across with death and obviously the original gentleman from the coffee shop. I really liked it. I really liked this idea of, you know, death coming down and what would you do? Where would you take death and show him around? And I think it was beautiful that he was also learning about love and about loss as well himself. And I think the story is lovely. Anthony Hopkins as well plays a really good part. I thought the two of them had good chemistry on screen. I don't think that Brad Pitt deserves quite the slating he gets for the hairstyle. I actually thought he looked quite adorable. That might just be me. I found him quite charming. I thought the hairstyle completed with the little brown suit. I thought he looked very adorable. I think what gets me about this film is just the dialogue. And I know that it is 3 hours and I was worried about the pacing going into it, expecting it to be quite slow, but I think the dialogue is just so beautiful. And the way that it flows and just the sort of the wisdom and the pearls that it just sort of embeds with this beautiful dialogue about life and seizing life and making sure you live every moment and love every moment. And just, yeah, it was just really beautiful and I think really special. I can see why it's still, you know, endured 25 years later and people are still talking about it. And I think it's a very appropriate movie for this time. So thank you, Sarah, for choosing it. And
thank you.
To watch it because I hadn't seen it before, so I really enjoyed it.
65 years. Don't they go by in a blink? You're dead.
Yes?
You're not dead, you're just a kid in a suit.
The suit came with the body I took.
You want me to be your guide?
I wish to see the world.
Mr. Parrish, will the gentleman be staying for dinner, sir?
Yes.
If I say who you are, I don't think anyone will stay for dinner.
Does your friend have a name?
I'm sorry, this is Joe.
Incidentally, Joe what?
Black. Have we met?
He's from out of town.
Let me ask your opinion. Do I blend in?
This is crazy.
You're married, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
Gay.
What is that?
Peanut butter, sir.
I thoroughly enjoy this peanut butter.
This is Joe Black. He'll be joining us this morning.
Our sole order of business today is an acceptance of John Bonacieux's generous offer.
Bring more of these delicious cookies. And a cup of tea with milk, please.
Is there anything else, Mr. Black?
You like him, don't you?
May I kiss you?
Why, yes.
In this world, nothing is certain but death and taxes.
Death and taxes?
Yes.
But an odd pairing.
Who is Joe Black? He sleeps at Bill's house. He never leaves his side.
I have this weak feeling in my knee.
You walk into my life, give me the worst news a guy can get, and now you're spooning with my daughter.
I love him.
I don't care if you love him.
Easy, Bill. You give yourself a heart attack and ruin my vacation.
Universal Pictures presents...
I'm in love with a man. But I don't know who he is.
Brad Pitt.
What I know is what I want. And what I want is Susan.
You're violating the laws of the universe.
Anthony Hopkins.
You're at the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong woman.
Are you threatening me?
Yeah, I certainly hope so.
And Claire Forlani.
I want to be with you, Joe.
In a Martin Brest film.
The time has come to tell you who I am.
Joe, I'm afraid. What's going on, Joe? I feel like we're lifting off.
Music, of course, by Thomas Newman. And again, we'll hear more with respect to that side of things as well. But let's actually go around for the scores from that point of view. Sarah, what is your number for this particular one?
I know it's a bit long and that, but it's just a bit of me because it's perhaps a girl dad thing. But I'll tell you a little secret. I haven't watched it since that with my dad because I couldn't quite bear to do so. But I did. And so on that count, for you, Jimbo, I have to give it a 9 out of 10.
Nice.
But I can't watch it all the time. Well, just for personal, you know, if you had your Desert Island Discs or what actually your films are. So I know it's got faults. I know it's long. I know it's a bit cheesy, but personally,
Roger Ebert said, no good movie can ever be too long or no bad movie can ever be too short.
I know. I want to watch something fun now and jolly and silly, but yeah, I give it a 9.
A 9 from yourself, Sarah. Okay. Kathy.
For me, I think I'm giving it an 8. I it's a good film. I mean, it's great. You know, you're seeing some quality acting. Yeah, it's long, but if you're involved with the story, I think it's more about, maybe depends where you are in life and like what's your mental state at the time of watching this. I think that can really be a factor into the score. So an 8 for me.
8 from your good self. And Natasha?
I would give it, I'd agree with Sarah, I would give it a 9. I found it, yeah, quite an emotional roller coaster of an experience. I thought there were some really beautiful moments. I think, yeah, it's not quite that perfect 10 for me. You know, there is bits where it's a bit predictable and there's bits where you can kind of see it coming, but that's all, I suppose, part of the charm of it. So yeah, I would give it a 9.
For the simple reason that I would say that the 1962 episode of The Twilight Zone, featuring, what some might say, a precursor to Brad Pitt, Robert Redford, but he had better hair, called Nothing in the Dark, actually addresses a similar kind of thing, but with an elderly lady in the position who's actually encountering death and so on. I think I'm going to go for an 8 for this, because I think you have episodes there which maybe actually work through the process. Plus, you know, there was conspicuous capitalism on show there in all sorts of things. That, you know, what are we going to go with respect to that? So it's 8 out of 10 for myself. And that neatly brings us around. Apart from Sarah, actually, we do need to ask you the question in terms of musical scenarios. I mean, we've already heard, and we'll hear from Thomas Newman. We've heard from that wonderful Hawaiian ukulele person. But would you like Top Hat, White Hat, White Tie and Tails, Let's Face the Music and Dance, Isn't This a Lovely Day, or Cheek to Cheek?
Oh, I think for my dad, I'd have to have When You're Dancing, Cheek to Cheek. Let's be optimistic.
Have it. Dancing Cheek to Cheek. Well, someday we may wish upon a star and actually hope that the Blue Fairy may actually come round and produce something which is much more wonderful for us, and not, in the words of film critic Mark Kermode, say the ultimate words, "Hanks for nothing, Tom."
Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you the 8th wonder of the world.
Jeepers.
An almost real boy. Turn around. Let me get a look at you. I will be right here when you get back.
Pinocchio is running around loose without a conscience. Can you imagine the trouble he's going to get into?
Wouldn't want that on my conscience.
Everybody who's anybody wants to be a somebody.
But I want to be real.
Why on earth would you want to be real
when you can be famous?
Pinocchio should have been home by now.
Pinocchio!
Like a bolt out of the blue.
He won't be a puppet anymore. That's for sure.
When you
unselfish.
You will always be my real boy.
A lie can really change a person, Pinocs.
What's happening, Jiminy?
Looks like some sort of fairy magic. Kinda on the nose, if you ask me.
Tom Hanks starring, of course, in the live-action Robert Zemeckis-directed version of Pinocchio, which I went to with a certain amount of trepidation because I love the original movie. I think there are lots of wonderful things there. And there's an awful lot of hate-watching that's been taking place online about this particular aspect. Bottom line, it is the Pinocchio legend. It is the Pinocchio story. But the question that needs to be asked is, why did they remake it almost shot for shot, apart from changing the race of the blue fairy and doing that particular element within the whole system? Natasha, you were very keen in saying, no, I'm not going to do this. Richard never sees animated movies from Disney, ever. You know, the last animated movie he saw was Zootropolis. So, you know, he's as confused about Disney and animation as he would be about VPNs and VPLs. It would, you know, I'm saying this is not a surprise. This is the Richard Fitzwilliams. We know this. So he would probably actually be going straight to this particular aspect as and when. He may choose not to, because, of course, it's gone straight to the Disney Plus channel. It hasn't had that theatrical release. But Natasha, what is it about Pinocchio that you think, I just don't know?
So I feel like I'm going to crush your hopes and dreams now, Alex, because you love the original. I'm just not personally, just growing up, it was just never a story that I massively connected with compared to some of the other Disney stories. I'm a massive Disney fan. I'm just going to throw that out there. The live actions have sort of been a little bit hit and miss for me. So some of them I felt like where they've added stuff to the story that's worked, like the Cinderella with Lily James, I really loved the Beauty and the Beast one, that because the story, as you said, Alex, it wasn't like shot for shot the same movie. And I feel like when they do that with live actions and it's like that, I don't feel that it's adding anything. It's the same as Lion King. When I saw the Lion King, I was very disappointed because it almost felt like you were getting a B-grade version of the original. So I am approaching maybe these live actions a little bit more of trepidation than I would an animated movie, for example. I don't know. It's just not one that I've ever really, I haven't watched the original in a long, long time, just because I remember as a child, it wasn't something I really, as I said, I was into particularly. I found it a little bit scary in places and a little bit dull in others. I know it's
diddly he, an actor's life for me.
I'm sorry.
When you wish upon a star.
Iconic.
I got no strings and I'm la 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 on me. Oh, what's not to appreciate?
It is a very iconic film. It's just not one that I would put up there with like my favorites, my goldens from Disney. And so I think because I've got this kind of nervousness about some of the live actions, I think it was compounded into that. And that's why it's not something that would appeal to me. I do find it interesting that they didn't have the confidence to put it in the cinema. And I wonder if that is because it's not, or that they didn't have the confidence. We don't know, I'm surmising, but that they didn't put it straight to, that they put it straight to Disney Plus release. I'm wondering if that's because it's not one of the more popular stories, or whether they weren't confident that it would make a lot of money in the cinema. I don't know, it's interesting.
Well, they were certainly using it to drive the Disney subscription day, the annual Disney day, where the corporation encourages us all to actually shell out for bonus Disney content and so on and so forth. But Sarah, I mean, I saw this first of all in the cinema with my father, and ever since then, I've obviously tried to tell the truth at all times because I don't want to have my nose extending. You know, these are the kind of things that you could have in a whole range of issues for that. You've got Jiminy Cricket, of course, as the conscience, the grasshopper, all of those things are there. I mean, curiously, we call this a live action, and you can see Tom Hanks as Geppetto there. actually it's mostly CGI because Pinocchio is all computer generated in terms of those things. But what are your thoughts on the original? And because again, we talked about families with Meet Joe Black. This is surely the even more poignant story because unlike Bill Parrish, who's a multimillionaire, Geppetto's just had to actually make it all himself. He's just a poor watchmaker and he's had to work through that process. That's a little gripe I have about this CGI thing, because in the original cartoon, we have lots of wonderful designs. Here, we seem to have an awful lot of images of the Watchers that are simply designed to promote other Disney movies. But there we are. That's, you'd have to see that to appreciate it. Anyway, Sarah, to yourself.
I really can't comment too much because I haven't seen this movie. Can you remind me, Geppetto, did I say Geppetto? Geppetto.
Geppetto.
He doesn't have children, does he?
No.
No.
That's so, why he basically makes this puppet and he wishes that he could be real.
So moved this week, but it's actually quite a strong storyline for people that can't have children, isn't it, on that level. So yes, the magic of that, I think, is terribly important. And once again, looking at the world with the glass of wine half full. Well, I haven't got a real boy, but I have got a boy and I have got this person. So perhaps when you lose your father, other people take your father's place in certain aspects. If you don't have children, I have lots of friends that wish they had and didn't. They take other people's children as a part. And I think perhaps that's the magic of the essence of what this film's about. And I hope that in this one comes across. But actually, looking at Tom Hanks there, I think that's a very good still because you can see, oh, wow, the wonder. But I agree with you, and because we're the older ones here, Alex, but the essence...
But age is just a number, Sarah, surely. And I speak as a 104-year-old.
But Natasha and Kathy, I would think, understand what we're getting at. I think it's very important with the remakes of these films that the original essence comes through. And if it doesn't and it gets too modernized in the way that the true storyline doesn't come through, then, because I've seen quite a few productions of Pinocchio on stage actually, and there you do get the magic. I think at Polka Children's Theatre, I've had friends in that production and a larger production of it as well. So I can't really comment, but for me, I hope that the essence of the original comes through in this particular one, and that new people watching it and new children watching it think, gosh, and have that essence.
Yes, I'm not sure whether this is more a Hallmark production of Pinocchio as opposed to the original animated version. And again, not as bad as many folk have actually said it actually is, but questionable. Kathy, I'm not sure whether you've seen the trailer or what your thoughts are on this, which, as we were discussing yesterday, also was incarnated perfectly as an adaptation by Stanley Kubrick and Steven Spielberg in, of course, AI, with Haley Joel Osment as the boy who kind of was seeking to be made real. And that again, is the interesting thing. It's not just that Geppetto actually creates his vicarious creature to actually love and appreciate. Not too dissimilar to what a lot of AI specialists are now saying elderly folk will, I mean, such as myself, basically, will simply have to react to our own personal favourites and actually get sympathy from our own particular area. So, you know, on that basis alone, clearly we need to actually relate to our friends who are real and develop their own system. So, you know, Kathy holding up our avatar friends just to actually work through that whole process. I'm not going to go into my embracing my inner hoodie for this moment because that would not be appropriate at the particular moment in time. So, Kathy, your thoughts on this one then?
I got a lot of thoughts. I did see some of it. I didn't finish it only because time, not anything personally against Pinocchio. But I think it's kind of a hard balance because I think the benefit of having a cartoon version of Pinocchio is it's very easy to accept the world they present to you. And it's okay to like dive into the magic and go into it when it is a cartoon. Whereas when it's a live action, trying to keep that balance makes it even harder because, you know, I'm watching and I'm like, so has the town accepted this? Because no one seems freaked out by a pup, puppet just kind of walking around.
I mean, the schoolmaster actually just kicks the puppet out immediately. You know,
That's discrimination. Yeah. so that it brings up other hard hitting things as well. I mean, and especially we're talking about Italy. I don't know if you guys know about the Italian education system, but I have comments that I won't bring up right now. so it is a hard balance when you go into it, and I think there are moments where it can work. Like, I loved Aladdin's live action. It's one of my favorite live actions that's happened. I was really into it. I like that they could add more to it, and they added their own song and things like that. But then you have this version, and is it done beautifully? Sure. But I also think they just kind of took advantage to like really hit Disney, like the whole scene with the clocks, and it's all different Disney characters and different Disney stories. I mean, it's cute, but it's like, why?
Product placement. like, it's self-product placement. Go see this movie. Exactly. Go see that movie.
And it's more entertaining when you get to like, ooh, I see like a hidden Mickey or a little small nuance Disney item. But like when it's so obvious that everything is related.
Blatant was the word, Kathy. Blatant.
Yeah, blatant is correct. You're just kind of like, what are we doing here? Is this just a very long ad? So I definitely did get some mixed feelings from it. Now, the music, beautiful. Not here to criticize that. Obviously, the fairy, fairy godmother sang beautifully, hit notes that are hard. That range is not easy to do, especially in a breath. So I can definitely recognize the talent. And, you know, Tom Hanks is Tom Hanks. I'm going to always usually love what he does, and he's never going to hurt me. And I'm glad that he didn't try to go into like a fake Italian accent, because that would have been rough. No, but he's like, he brings in a warmth to the character, which I did appreciate. But is it a movie that I would have wanted to see? Probably not. Like, if it wasn't for this specific thing that we're doing, I probably would have been okay being like, that's okay, I remember the original, it was a nice thing. But, you know, I'm from Florida, I see a lot of Disney stuff. You know, Wish Upon a Star has been following me my whole life. So
did it follow you to Kiev, Kathy?
Oh yeah, actually the stars were beautiful. That was the one. I've never seen a sky like that before. And I mean, I've been in some deserted places where you can see the night sky, but it's probably the most beautiful place I've ever seen the stars. So but yeah.
Yeah, so overall, I'm thinking in terms of the live action Pinocchio, I'll go 6.5, really. I think brave attempts, but the question that still remains, why did they decide they had to do it in this way? And I'm a great fan of Robert Zemeckis. I think he's a good and underrated director. I think he's actually better than Martin Brest in certain ways, but Zemeckis very much mentored by Steven Spielberg across the ages, but somehow didn't quite take off. Having said that, if you have a Disney Plus subscription, then by all means take the opportunity to check out the live action version before, of course, another animated version. Yes, Sarah, it's like buses. You wait for years, and then suddenly another Pinocchio comes along, opening this year's London Film Festival. I wonder whether he see it, because it is, of course, Guillermo del Toro's take on The Boy Made Out of Pine, and how that also echoes the more challenging aspects, or as Tom Hanks would say, the darker side of Disney. So there we have it, Pinocchio, which may be returned to, whether Richard Fitzwilliams kind of decides that he's going to do that, who knows, in which case we've already made our decision, so we can actually say, it's all right, Richard, just move on. Sarah Huntley, what things will you be doing over the next few days as far as drama is actually concerned?
Well, I'm trying to give everybody a good script, which is easier said than done, and the use of the internet. I'm trying to reclaim Mock Top train tickets, which is causing me lack of filming. It's gone on and on and on. I had a little bet with myself that I would try using technology without worrying about it at all. And I've moved forward in some areas, but I've definitely moved backwards in others. I will be watching, obviously, tomorrow, the funeral. I will go to church tomorrow morning. But I think I'm going to step away a bit then, because I think we've had the period of mourning then. I think we need to start going forward to the new era after that. And I'm making sure I I see my family, actually. So I am actually thinking, oh, I've got such a lot of work to get done between now and Tuesday, because all of us, now we're not at work on Monday, it's piling up the rest of the week. But my daughters have had a surprise visit home from Cardiff. So I'm going to take her to the cinema this afternoon to see something, to escape, to go somewhere else. But I'm not sure what's on, but we shall go and see something. That's what I'm planning.
Ticket to Paradise. Take her to see Ticket to Paradise.
All it's right. Got George Clooney and Sandra Bullock. So what's not to appreciate?
Julia Roberts.
Julia Roberts. Easily confused then, but thank you for Natasha for raising that whole thing through. Never mind. Excellent. Natasha Wanton, Sarah Huntley, Kathy Manso. Keep on keeping on and keep watching those movies.
Thank you.